Live from Arizona, not live, this is a podcast, but Sabres and Blues talk today. I'm going to actually change gears. We're going to talk about the Ryan O'Reilly trade. We'll have a bit of a barometer on this season as Tage Thompson's taking a step forward. What's going on with Ryan O'Reilly and the Sabres opponent for tonight's game, the St. Louis Blues? That's coming up here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase, I'm here in Arizona visiting my mom, getting a little break after Bill season ended about a month ago. Sabres season rocking and rolling. Just taking a little refresher out here for a week. And I've been keeping up with the Sabres throughout the week. Saw a little bit of that Sabres and Canadiens game earlier in the week. I'm gonna bypass that, though. Fans okay with that? I want to talk Ryan O'Reilly today, the state of the O'Reilly trade, especially with the massive step forward that Tage Thompson has taken this season. So we'll get into that and a bit of a preview of tonight's game, Thursday's game against the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis. Betting preview, what the lines are going to look like. Are the Sabres going to continue on with that Casey Mittelstadt-led first line between Jeff Skinner and Alex Tuch instead of Tage Thompson, as those two flip-flopped at the end of the Montreal game? But again, the Canadiens game, I didn't watch it live. I went back to watch it, and I saw, you know, like Anthony Chandra from Expected Buffalo. It was either him or Sabermetrics. Somebody had tweeted out that it was the lowest expected goals for the Sabres had put up all season, like 0.11, which is about as low as you can possibly get expected goals for. It read to me like a game that was not that fun to talk about, and it's another burn the tape game. We had one of those last week against the Ottawa Senators. I think we maybe had another burn the tape game against Montreal earlier in the week. So guess what? We're skipping it. I don't think Sabre fans will have a problem with that. If you really want thoughts on it, I mean, reach out at Locked On Sabres and we can get those to you on social media, but I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with this. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, as always, though, at Locked On Sabres. I'm there at Sneaky Joe Sports, and my partner in crime, Jordan Hanskin, is at JR Hanskin. We will start things off today by looking at the Blues and what's going on with their team this season. They're having an okay year. They're not the best, I think, given what expectations would be. They're actually probably about there, 66 points. They are in a playoff spot, and that's probably what you would want. Now, they are not anywhere near Stanley Cup contenders. They're plus 3,500 to win the Stanley Cup right now. That is far below the legitimate contenders like Vegas, like Colorado, especially, who is the favorite, like Tampa Bay, like Florida and Toronto. They're definitely a cut below all of those teams. And given that they're a veteran team, this is a team where it's Stanley Cup or bust. If you have not been watching their games this season, but you were thinking about them earlier in the offseason, you might remember that Vladimir Tarasenko was on the trade market before the season had begun, and they were almost willing to give him to Seattle for nothing. They were going to do it for the expansion draft protection, to not take anybody else. Just here, take Tarasenko, who had had massive shoulder surgery. He had had some bad blood between him and the training staff and the organization. He wanted to trade himself, but they end up not letting him go to Seattle. They don't trade him. Actually, they did expose him, so I shouldn't say that. Seattle is the team, really, that decided not to take him on, but they decided not to trade for him or trade him away after Seattle decided not to take him. So Tarasenko is still on the team, and he is their leading point scorer this year with 46 points in 45 games. I don't think he is a comeback player of the year award for the NHL just based on production. So Oscar Lindblom won the Bill Masterton trophy last year on his dedication to hockey, coming back from a cancer diagnosis a couple of years ago. So like, that's kind of an award that they have, but not necessarily, oh, you missed the year due to injury, you come back, and then you have this season. Maybe the Masterton falls under that umbrella.
Tarasenko, though, 46 points in 45 games after really not playing much at all the last two seasons. That has been a revelation for St. Louis to have him not only back, but back in the form that he has been playing in. Now, we'll get to O'Reilly in a little bit. He's a little bit further down the scoring sheet. He's actually sixth in scoring for the Blues this season with 32 points in 46 games. The youth movement has begun to take over in St. Louis. Remember those prospects that we were thinking about with the O'Reilly trade 2 years ago, the build-up to it? It ended up being Tage Thompson, but Jordan Kyrou has 45 points in 46 games. He's only 23 years old. Robert Thomas, who's only 22 years old, has 40 points in 43 games. And Ivan Barbashev, who's 26 years old, has 36 points in 49 games. And I did not mention Pavel Buchnevich, who is in his first season with the Blues after many years with the Rangers. He is above a point a game at 45 points in 44 games. The typical leaders, the veterans of the Blues, Alex Pietrangelo is not there. He's in Vegas. O'Reilly, as I mentioned, having a down year statistically. Braden Schenn is at 28 points in 34 games, couple of injuries that he's dealt with, so that's a little bit further down. David Perron, 24 points in 37 games. Colton Parayko, 20 and 48. So Tyler Bozak, 10 points in 39 games. That's been brutal. Brandon Saad's on that team too, 28 and 46. He's been okay. But again, the story of the Blues season has been Buchnevich, Kyrou, Thomas, and Barbashev. Those young players, that core young group offensively, has stepped up and taken over. And the same thing has happened in net. Now, there's not a massive age difference between Jordan Binnington and Ville Husso, who is 26 years old, Binnington 28. Binnington has kind of lost the job. I would know this as someone that has Husso in fantasy hockey and kind of sat on him earlier in the year, waited for him to take the job over because he's been significantly better than Binnington has this season. And we don't know who's going to start in net against the Sabres tonight yet. But in 18 starts, Husso, 936 save percentage. Binnington, a 900 save percentage. A 12-3-2 record for Ville Husso, as opposed to a 12-10-3 record for Binnington. They are a far superior team when Binnington is not between the pipes. And we'll see if Husso ends up going tonight, but he's taken over that job. He has started many of the games lately. He's starting really two of every three games in the past month, whereas Binnington has kind of taken into that 1B role, and maybe he's in line to be the number two the rest of the way. I think if the playoffs started today, I would go with Husso. That's one of those where the veteran sometimes gets the start in the playoffs just because of the reputation. If I were the Blues, I would hope that does not happen. If I were a Blues fan, I would hope that does not happen. We will discuss. We'll barometer the Ryan O'Reilly trade when we come back. Tage Thompson having a career season and O'Reilly having a bit of a down season. So can you call it a win? Can you call it a tie? Can you even call it, does it still have to be a win for the Blues? We'll analyze that when we come back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Our podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. It's that time of year that I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right thanks to Built Bar. It's almost feels like it's not really a resolution because I enjoy eating them so much. If you tried the Puffs, if you haven't, you're missing out on one of the best built-tasting Built Bars out there. Covered in 100% chocolate. Yes, 100% chocolate. They're low-calorie, high-protein. Replace your candy bars with these because most Built Bars only contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which you usually get in 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. And if you go to built.com right now, use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on the computer, choosing the only brand they carry in their warehouse? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, it could even be 100% more for the same parts from your chain store or car dealership? You go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available, right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. The Ryan O'Reilly trade. Let's go over it. Joe DiBiase here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. We are through 4 years now. 4 years now since O'Reilly has been a member of the Buffalo Sabres. And it looked like a blowout for many years. It was a joke. As someone that listened to a lot of national podcasts like Puck Soup and ESPN on Ice and the PDO cast, you know, there are a lot of these national hockey podcast where whenever Ryan O'Reilly came up, Tage Thompson came up, the Blues and Sabres came up, there was kind of joke telling. There was, you know, mocking the Sabres for making the worst trade that was, it probably would have rated as the worst trade in the NHL for a team in the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, it was the worst one, not only because of not getting almost any value seemingly back in the first 4 years of the deal, because Thompson had really done nothing to prove that he was valuable until this year. The first round pick, Ryan Johnson, actually had a bad first year of development. And either way, we're talking about the last pick of the first round anyways. So we had that one. If you're watching on the video, by the way, just moving the screen a little bit. I got the sun chasing me down past this pole. Got to deal with that when you've got the sun out. I'm not complaining because sorry for anyone listening, Buffalo with the 10 feet of snow. But anyways, Vladimir Sobotka, a horrible contract, was maybe the worst player in the National Hockey League the last 3 years playing for the Sabres. Patrick Berglund up and quits 3 months into his Sabre experience. So that was a zero. And then O'Reilly, first year there, wins the Cup, wins the Conn Smythe, then he wins the Selke, and he continues to be one of the best two-way centermen in the game. And the Blues won a Cup off it. So it looked like a complete and utter embarrassment. And maybe it still is because of O'Reilly winning the Cup right away. But Tage Thompson has really changed that. Thompson, more points this year than O'Reilly. He has doubled him up when it comes to goals. He is 6 years younger than Ryan O'Reilly. And the luck is beginning to turn for the Sabres. Whereas for the Blues, they already saw the fruits of the labor. They already got what they wanted out of the trade. But this was inevitable. And maybe it's only a bit of a window into what's to come, and O'Reilly will bounce back, and this he won't really see this decline for a couple more years. But remember the thing with O'Reilly? When we traded him in the first place, what was part of the deal there? It was the Sabres needed to get faster, and a lot of their important players just didn't have that foot speed that you needed, and O'Reilly was kind of king of that. Yeah, he was unbelievable at every other facet of his game, playmaking, scoring goals, defensive zone, but he was not fast. In fact, he was even maybe slow for his position. That is the type of player that hits the wall and hits the wall early. So maybe it is happening with O'Reilly a little bit. And again, it's not like he's shot. 32 points in 46 games is not what he's typically accustomed to. But 50-point pace, he's not useless. And he's still playing a role, playing over 19 minutes a night on a team that's going to make the playoffs. So, you know, not all bad for O'Reilly, but the story here is Thompson. Thompson has turned things around. He looks like a top six centerman in the NHL with number one center upside, given that he's switched positions and he has the size and the shooting ability that he has. I still bet against him being a number one center because I think he's lacking some of that playmaking vision that you really need to be a number one center in the NHL. But again, the luck is turning. Ryan Johnson is turning into a nice little prospect after a bad first year of development. I would project him to be an NHL defenseman at this point with top four defenseman upside, probably more of a third pair guy, specialty, second power play unit if he does hit. But there's still a good potential for him to become an NHL defenseman. And then it's really all you're looking at because everything else is a kind of a zero at this point in that trade. So I don't know. I don't want to call it a win because the Blues won the Cup. I don't think you can ever call it a win unless like Thompson would have to become all-star forward, important player on a team that wins a Stanley Cup. I think to call it a win for the Sabres over the Blues, I think that's what needs to happen. You could call it a win for the Sabres in general if Thompson just becomes a guy that plays a decade here and is a 60-point guy that scores 30 goals every year. I mean, that's a win for the Sabres, but you can't call it a win over the Blues, if you know what I mean. Whereas maybe that gets it to a point where it's a wash. I think the key here, though, is that it's no longer a blowout. It's no longer a blowout. It's no longer an embarrassment. It's no longer a trade that you can just openly mock the Sabres for without having a comeback. Because you'll still hear the jokes. You'll still hear the jokes where, oh, yeah, they traded Ryan O'Reilly and they got what? But now you'll have a comeback. Now you'll say, well, look what Tage Thompson's become. Thompson has given them that comeback. And Sabres and Blues tonight, it might be a reminder that it's not a total loss. That trade that looked to be a total loss for a long time is no longer a total loss. Sabres and Blues tonight, it's an 8 o'clock puck drop, Eastern time zone, because the schedule I'm looking at, given that I'm out here in Arizona, it's a 6 o'clock. Gotta love the West Coast sports. You get a little bit of an earlier puck drop. You get to go to bed a little bit earlier, or you can stay up and do something else, which obviously is what I'll be doing, given that I'm on vacation and still a pretty young guy. Sabres and Blues tonight. Head over to Bet Online if you want to look at some of the lines for tonight. And it's not just hockey. Football season might be over, but it's basketball and hockey in full steam for both pro and college. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to be, betonline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. And it's not just basketball and hockey. Betonline.net's your source for boxing and UFC. Right to, you had that for your Olympic coverage and information the last month. Head to their website today or use the mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Blues tonight, by the way, their lineup for tonight, Ryan O'Reilly, still centering what they have listed as their top line, but it's not really their top line. It's a veteran line. O'Reilly centering Brandon Saad and David Perron. Their best line really is Robert Thomas centering Pavel Buchnevich and Vladimir Tarasenko, and then a good third line. They run three lines deep. Braden Schenn centering Jordan Kyrou and Ivan Barbashev, and then the fourth line, Tyler Bozak with Oscar Sundquist and Klim Kostin. The defense pairing, some names that you might not recognize, but some good players. Colton Parayko, Nico Mikola, Torrey Krug, big free agent signing from last year on their second pair with Justin Falk. Jake Walman and Robert Bortuzzo are the defense pairings. And again, at this time of recording in the morning here, we are not sure who is starting in net, but for the Sabres' sake, I would hope that it is Jordan Binnington. After being their number one goaltender the last couple of years, he is absolutely their second best goaltender behind Ville Husso. The lines for tonight at BetOnline. The Sabres on the money line, big underdog at plus 269. The Blues as a favorite, minus 305. The Sabres on the puck line, plus a goal and a half, are plus 103, almost even odds there. Whereas the Blues at minus a goal and a half are minus 123. And the over-under is 6 goals. The Sabres minus 103. The Blues minus 107. My favorite bet for tonight would be the Sabres on the puck line, plus a goal and a half, plus 103, just because I like the odds. I think you get even odds. They lose by a goal. You still win. They end up winning the game. You win. I would go with the puck line here. Give you a little rooting interest for the Sabres as well. So that's what I would do. On tonight's game, that's what I will do, is bet the Sabres at plus a goal and a half on the puck line tonight. All right, enjoy the game, Sabres and Blues. Hopefully, you'll be nice, especially being in St. Louis, a Tage Thompson hat trick. You already had one earlier in the week, but just to kind of show, like a kind of a show me, like, yeah, you didn't blow us out in this trade. Look at this guy. You gave us this guy. Look at him. Look at him go. I would love to see just a show be put on by Tage Thompson tonight. And for that, I hope that they put the line back together of Thompson, Skinner, and Tuck. I'm recording this before the morning skate, so I don't know if that's going to be something that goes back, because at the end of the Montreal game, they put Casey Mittelstadt between Alex Tuck and Jeff Skinner. And to be fair, it worked. Like, Mittelstadt looked good, and that line kept rolling with Mittelstadt in the middle. But again, I want this to be a Tage Thompson show tonight, so I hope that they give him the best chance to do that. Don Granato continues to put him with Jeff Skinner and Alex Tuck, but we will see. Thanks for making us Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy Sabres and Blues, and we will talk to you here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.